Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. Come on in. Grab a seat. Stay standing, whatever's comfortable. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. Before we start, I want to acknowledge that we here at CJSF, this program and all of our programs are produced and broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamilam and Squamish speaking people who have been here gathering to share stories and music and culture and just be together since time immemorial, since a time before any of us can remember. And I'm very grateful to be able to be in this space and do my own version of that in these lands that were never formally given away or conquered. Today on the program, we've got a bunch of stuff. We've got a few pre-recorded segments. We've got some music, got a little bit of talk, but I want to kick things off. Well, I always kick things off with a little bit of local music, and why don't we do that, and then we'll get into what I think is the most important part of the show. This is local music. It's not that new, but it is a brand new addition to the CJSF playlist. It's by Self Care. I've played them on this program many times before. Why not once more? This is Don't Try.
Thank you.
Don't Try by Self Care. Their new record, Doggy, is out now on streaming and out for purchase on Bandcamp. I'm Jesse. This is Speak Up. This is our first show post-Fun Drive, and I want to take a little time to thank you for helping us make Fun Drive as successful as it was. We've so far raised over $8,000, and donations have continued to come in by mail, and people are still heading to cjsffundrive.ca to make donations online. You can do that if you'd like. We do appreciate it, and it helps us do what we do here at CJSF even more and even better. But if you have already donated, thank you. Thank you so much. I know Cheryl Manti donated $140 to this program, which is great, and helped us reach this show's goal almost single-handedly. And it just really means a lot for you out there to have made your support of what we do here at CJSF, what I do here at CJSF, tangible and real. So once again, thank you. And you won't hear us asking you to donate again until this time next year, 2026. So thank you. And again, there is still time to get in donations if you want one of the limited edition prints of our Fun Drive art by artist Charlotte Cho. You can still get that if you make a donation of $90.10 or more at cjsffundrive.ca. So, again, thank you. It really means a lot, particularly for me. This is my first Fun Drive as programming coordinator at the station, and I also want to thank everyone at the station who really went all out. We had people designing graphics. We had people producing social media content. We had people doing really excellent episodes of their shows and really, really pushing to help convince you to donate. And so thank you to everyone who participated in Fun Drive 2025. Okay, we're going to move on to our first bit of talk content for the day, unless you count that thank you speech I just made. We're going to hear from relatively new volunteer Florentina, who has this piece about protests in the Philippines.
Hello, hello. My name is Florentina, and I'm very excited today to be joined by Angel Lin and a friend of hers, where we'll be looking back to the Indonesian protests that had happened back in August this year. Angel Lin and her friend, too, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, my name is Angel Lin. I am an art major from ITB, Institute Technology Bandung in Indonesia. And I should probably give some background as to how it happened in the first place, right?
Absolutely.
So there has been a lot of rising tensions between the citizens of Indonesia and the House of Parliament members, the DPR members, and a lot of corruption taking place, in a sense, like a lot of tax hikes, and everything reached to a boiling point when a video surfaced, not even a video, it was an official video of the House of Parliament members dancing after they got a rise in their what was it? It was housing prices, not housing.
Their allowance, I believe.
Yes, their allowance.
To help cover rent or mortgage, I'm assuming.
Exactly. But it was really tone deaf for the Indonesian citizens, especially for the DPR members that were already receiving, in my opinion, a salary that was way too high for what they were working on. That was on the 25th of August. And I remember thankfully, I wasn't alone. I was at a friend's apartment just hanging out prior to that. And when the news dropped, everybody was like, oh, God, this is totally not going to go to something horrible. This is totally not going to have any ramifications, right? And then the peak of the demonstrations was literally just 3 days later on the 28th. A delivery driver, Afan Kurniawan, he passed away because a police vehicle, an armored tank, literally ran over him during a protest, and he wasn't even a part of that protest. He was doing his job, and the clip went viral, and it really enraged a lot of citizens, because I think he represented a lot of parts and homes of a lot of Indonesian citizens, in a sense. Like, he was just there for work, and he wasn't even there for a protest. He was called there because it was a necessity to provide for his family. And even then, he still got murdered. As to where I was, I, again, like I said before, I was thankfully already at a friend's apartment, and I wasn't alone, so I didn't have to go anywhere far if I wanted to get like groceries, or if I want to get food, if I want to get water. So a lot of my basic necessities were already covered by the time the demonstrations were happening. So thankfully, I didn't have to go out that much, but it was incredibly scary to look online, and everywhere you see, it's just another update, another person getting hurt, another person getting murdered by the police, or some people going missing. It's terrifying.
It's really hard out there, but I'm actually really interested in what you were saying about having to rely on like the internet basically to keep up with the news.
So for me personally, I wasn't a part of the demonstrations. I couldn't go down there and see for myself and like protest myself, because in the very beginning, even from the early days of the protest, there was already a lot of censorship happening. I forgot when exactly, but there
Interesting.
was big media outlets were not allowed to comment on what was happening. And like the demonstrations and stuff like that, it wasn't being reported on mainstream media. That's why we had to rely on social media and word of mouth. And I did hear from some friends overseas that that was also how they were getting news. And even then, it was very limited because, again, the censorship was crazy. And it was already a few days into the protest. And even stuff on TikTok was already being censored and taken down. And
Interesting. Okay.
a lot of higher ups were muddying the waters by paying people off to give propaganda that was positive towards the DPR members. A lot of instigators that weren't actually a part of the protest, but they were paid off to be in that protest, which honestly, I can't really blame them for. It's a hard life. They have to be paid for something, right? I think it's just a reflection as to how this country has already gone to this point, that we have to turn on our fellow citizens just to feed our families, but yeah, the censorship was crazy, and I mostly got my information from word of mouth from my friends, and a lot of people in my campus were a part of the demonstrations. They did go down to the streets, and they did protest about their rights and unfair treatment that the DPR members are giving. And there was a photo of a random guy, and everyone was saying that he was an instigator, and he was like a spy for the government. And there were screenshots of him trying to talk to people, trying to get information out of people. And the fact that it could happen, then this was like before everything got super, super bad. Like, I think there was a day after Afan Kurniawan's passing. And that was when it really hit me, because, like, oh, they're really targeting students and college students specifically to get information, and they're definitely going to be in danger if they were not careful. So I guess social media, I'm very thankful for social media, because this isn't the first demonstration that Indonesia has done. Obviously, 1989, there was a lot of riots then as well, and we didn't have the luxury of social media, so information was definitely a lot more blurred. I can't imagine how it was back then, where literally the only form of communication of was straight up word from mouth from someone that you trusted, and even then they could have been paid off, so we have no idea really. The information was so unclear, in a sense. Like, later in the protest, there was a lot of posters that came out, and this isn't like official posters. This is like, oh, if you want to join our protest, or if you want to join our us speak our minds, come to this place at this time. And there was a lot of tells that it was actually, propaganda and something from instigators that is not official, that would be dangerous if you were to go to that meeting, which was really small tells. Like, I feel like if you were older, or if you didn't have any social media, you would be convinced that these posters were from fellow citizens who did want to speak up. And it was just that the designs were really bad. And there was a lot of like random wording. It was like it looked like your uncle from the neighborhood making a really bad poster for an event that celebrated his birthday party or something. It was just that was the main tell of whether or not you should go to these meetings. Because and also to add on to the sorry, I'm not like doing this in order of the timeline because I it's that it's all right, it's only been a month, but it's already so much happened in such a short amount of time. I think it was just 2 weeks, and I my brain's already jumbled as to when something happened or not. And another one was, strangely, this was after the news stations were already, given a ban on documenting the demonstrations. But the moment a fire broke out, it was a public transportation stop. I know that. If I'm not mistaken, it was a bus stop. It was a public bus stop. And that bus stop was burned down. And even though the big media was not allowed to document on station things, they were somehow allowed to showcase the fires and what that occurred. Immediately, everybody on social media was like, we didn't do that. There's no way we did that because that doesn't make any sense. And for one, it didn't make sense because that's public transportation. That's something that belongs to the citizens. That would be something that is completely beneficial to us, and it would make absolutely no sense if we were to burn that down for the sake of a demonstration. And there have been eyewitness reports that late in the night, when the demonstrations were that for when the demonst when the protest for that day was already cooling down, there were reports of some people wearing big jackets or like basically covering their identities and hiding their identities, bringing in a ladder from God knows where and climbing onto that bus station to pour gasoline. And it was like, huh? That's not something a normal demonstrator would do. So clearly, it can't be us. That has to be an instigator, right? But again, a lot of people are still on the fence about that. I remember going on social media and first looking at the news, like, huh, that makes no sense. And then I open my Instagram story to look at all my friends, and like, maybe 50% of them were already talking about, like, I agree with the protest, but this is not the way, as if this was something that the demonstrators would do. And I was like, wait, so the propaganda might be working, actually. So yeah, that was just a crazy time. What?
Absolutely. I even had like a lot of people I knew from here, from a lot of other places too, reposting that shit and going like, yeah, it's horrible what the demonstrators are doing. It's like, no, you're not. It's gotta look a little
Oh
closer.
my God.
I
It was
know. They're really
crazy.
targeting like the media illiterate. It's like it's
Exactly.
really horrible out there. It's really interesting though, you brought up the 1998 protests. It's kind of like a sign that history is almost repeating itself. Censorship continues. Do you think censorship was kind of like going to continue, I guess, like it's used as a weapon by governments in Indonesia, maybe even like in other places too?
I definitely think that if somebody in power has a chance or some way to keep themselves in power, they will keep it. And one of those things, specifically in Indonesia, would be a crazy case of censorship, and misdirection. The cocktail of misdirection and censorship is absolutely horrible because, especially in the 1998 protest, that was in the end, it ended up being targeted towards Chinese Indonesians, and it ended up turning into a race war. And during the August protest, that almost happened again. In a sense, I saw a lot of talk on social media that, oh, this is a Chindo's fault, and I point to myself like, huh? How is this my fault? What did I do? And it was like a lot. It was really shocking. And then they were trying to redirect the anger from the people in charge to fellow citizens. So we would just keep fighting each other rather than fighting the people who were actually in power.
Yep.
And it's just another repetition of what was happening.
The timing of the demonstrations was really interesting to me because at the time, I remember before even like hearing about the demonstrations happening or plans of having a demonstrations, there were like a lot of social media posts regarding the regarding corruption in the Philippines, for example, around the same time as the August protests in Indonesia. There was also like some demonstrations happening in Nepal, in I believe not Bangladesh. Bangladesh happened a few months before, I believe. But yeah, how do you think the protests are influenced by other protests like around the world? And how do you think it's affected these other protests that kind of came afterwards?
I definitely have no doubt that once one country starts to quote unquote wake up, another country would definitely start to see. I think sometimes it's just the match that lights the flame, in a sense. Not to put Indonesia in such high regard. I don't know, my homeland, God bless. But it's like maybe we did inspire some other countries, some people in other countries to want to stand up to corrupt individuals in their government. And I think that that's a great thing. Honestly, God, we need more of it. Please don't censor media.
I really liked your segment and commenting on how ugly the posters for the fake protests were. There's like a really big, especially in like X, there, there's a lot of activism coming from artists like yourself, within the protests. Maybe you could like, what's your comment on that?
I personally believe that art has always been political. It has always been a
Absolutely.
political tool to push back against corrupt governments. It has always been a tool to communicate with other human beings, to share your thoughts and ideals. Same thing with demonstrations now. It's a lot easier to join together under one roof and under one name, metaphorically, if there's a clear design standpoint and a clear vision as to what you're standing behind, which is why there were three colors associated with the demonstrations, which are hero green, brave pink, and there was a dark blue that forgive me, I forgot the name
I
of in full.
believe. Oh.
But those have their own symbolisms as to why those were chosen as the colors of rebellion. And the first one was blue, which was a few months ago. There was another
Resistance blue. Sorry, just
resistance,
looked it
yeah,
up. Resistance
resistance blue.
blue.
Thank you. So with resistance blue, it was a few months ago, and there was, God, I already forgot, but there was another protest regarding another thing and regarding some more corruption. And there was it actually originated from an Indonesian analog horror show, and it was, okay, the translation would be like important announcement. And it was used as a sign to quote unquote wake up and to focus on the corrupt government. And that was the start of Resistance Blue. And Resistance Blue was a few months before Brave Pink and Hero Green. So what was the color behind Hero Green would be because of the death of Afan Kurniawan. And he was a Gojek driver. Which the Indonesian translation would be like a food pickup driver. And the clothes that he were wearing were green because that is the color of the brand. Of Gojek, of Grab is a very popular color here for delivery drivers. And as a sign of solidarity, the next day after when Afan was taken to his funeral, a lot. And I mean a lot. I mean a whole road was covered with green suits, with green helmets. It was a lot of solidarity between fellow drivers that, oh, this was one of my brothers. I should also take to the road to protest, this death. And it was a sign of peaceful protest. And you just see a sea of green. And it was honestly a very beautiful thing to see. And so That was the Behind the Hero Green. And Brave Pink was because of a clip that went viral of a small little Indonesian auntie who's very short with a really bright pink hijab, just whacking the police with a large stick.
Queen.
And
Okay.
everybody was like, damn, that's low-key crazy. Let's make her a face. And there have ever since then, there have been rumors and talks about how she could have been an instigator. And I feel like that has definitely shifted away the talk of how, oh, this was a brave person who stood up against the government, to actually, oh, this person was an instigator who was being paid off by the government to cause more mayhem in the protest. And no matter what the real answer is, I feel like what matters most is the impression that she gave to the hearts of the Indonesian people, which is to continue fighting. And although the, God, what's that word? The backstory, or like
Yeah.
the intentions do matter behind her acts. I feel like the fact that she was still able to inspire a lot of people and, become a face of a revolution that maybe she was paid to go against. I still feel like that's a good thing. It's a net positive in a sense, like, it still gave hope to Indonesian people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, those were the three colors, and you were seeing them everywhere. And honestly, design is a very important thing, because at that point, the moment you see green, pink, or blue in specifically those shades, you will immediately remember the protest. Because at that point, as an Indonesian, it is hardwired into your brain that, oh, these colors mean that this protest is still happening. So it was just like a good reminder, rather than people directly telling you the protests are still happening. Maybe it's just like a subconscious thing, but that's why design is so important, especially in the era of, AI. God, okay.
Okay. I guess on an ending note, where do you think we're going now? Do you think the country has gone better since, or there's, a better sense of accountability at the very least?
All right. So, in my opinion about how the country is going right now, I still think there's a lot of things that could be improved. Especially because before the protest ended, there were asks from the citizens about what they wanted the parliament members to do. And it was very specific. It was like bullet points, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, blah, 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 blah.
Literally just a
And
to-do list.
literally, it was just a to-do list. It was the most simple to-do list. And it was, when the parliament announced, what they were going to do about the to-do list, they did listen, but like listen with this on the smallest volume. In a sense, like, they fulfilled, I think it was three asking points. They did three out of like 17, and it was not a lot. And one of those asking points were to, the wage of the a parliament member, it's not very parallel to how much they are working. Therefore, they should not be earning that much money. And an ask was to, lower that amount of money. But okay, they did take away the housing allowance. Thank
Right.
God. Obviously, if you,
Bare
yeah,
minimum.
it, the, because they do not need that much money. But if you were to look at before the protest and after the protest, the members still got an increase. You don't notice that because at least the overall number has gone down. But if you were to like take a look at the graphs, they still got more money than what they were doing before. So with that, I have no doubt that Indonesians and literally everybody from corrupt governments will still have to put up a strong fight against people in high powers to keep them accountable, to not continue doing stuff like this. And I have no doubt that in the near future there will be another protest regarding this, because not much has changed in a sense. To keep it very bleak, people in power are still in power. They're still very rich. And there are still hundreds and even thousands, tens of thousands of Indonesians still suffering and going hungry, starving for food on the streets. I think it's also important that around this time, there are three sides that you can, there are two sides that you can take, and you can either be on